Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole. Guess what, man? Ray Jeezy and Will T are out. But you know, I'm not alone though. I'm not alone. Because we have a special, special guest co-host. Y'all have heard him before. Y'all have heard us mention this individual before. You know, giving us shout outs. You know, responding to, you know, questions that we put out there on social media. We got my man, George Templeton, co-host of the Against the Spread podcast for Pro Football Network. Hey, George, what's up?
It is so good to be on with you tonight, Wole. I've been looking forward to this all day. I'm glad to help out the urban sports scene when I can.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't wait to get into it. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah, first off, I want to say, you know, this day is special because this is, you know, this is the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's. I don't like even calling it an anniversary. Kobe Bryant passed away last year on this particular day. It was definitely a shocker to me, and we'll talk about that and how it impacted both of us and many other people, basketball fans and whatnot. We'll get into it, but this day is Mamba Day. This is about Mamba mentality, Mamba forever. Mm-hmm. So make sure, you know, we gonna keep that in spirit when we do this show. George, can you tell, before we get into our spiel, can you tell our listeners about your podcast?
Yes, Against the Spread, which is the podcast I'm currently doing, and is actually, we are going to have our final episode ever next Wednesday.
Oh, wow,
for the
okay.
Super Bowl,
uh-huh.
And then we're unfortunately having to close down, but that is the podcast I've been doing for about a year now,
okay.
And it's gambling in the NFL, and I had some podcasts with ProFootballNetwork.com before that. I do have a new podcast, if I can promo that real
sure,
quick.
Sure, please.
It is Rams Rewind. It is, if you're a fan of the VCU Rams, Virginia Commonwealth University, that's where I went to school. I've been doing post-game breakdowns on Facebook for a Facebook fans group I've been in for over a year. And somebody in there said, why don't you turn it into a podcast? And that's what we've done. So I basically watch the VCU game, whoever they're playing, and just break down what happened and kind of look inside at the box score and just give my thoughts on the game. It's usually about 20 minutes long. It's on Podbean. It's on Apple. And I think it's going to be on Google and Spotify in the next week or so. So that's my new podcast adventure. And in fact, after this show, I will be recording a special bonus episode of it tonight, because unfortunately their game tomorrow against Massachusetts has been COVIDed out due to issues with the Massachusetts program, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, COVID's ruining all sports, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
VCU, I'm a big fan of Eric Maynard. That's actually one of my favorite. Well, that was one of my favorite college basketball players, actually. I love this game at VCU.
unbelievable, some of the things he did at school. And that shot against Duke is,
mm-hmm.
is one I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, he was an amazing basketball player. But make sure you check out George's podcast, and also make sure you check us out on Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. We are part of Sports Journey. You can find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, now TuneIn as well, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And you can also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T normally says this, but he's not here. And we hope to have you back soon. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the rumors of the Washington football team targeting quarterback Matthew Stafford. At 8:20, we'll talk about Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards taking on John Wall and the Houston Rockets. John Wall's on Get Back. Believe me, he's on big time Get Back. At 8:35, we'll talk about Brady and Mahomes advancing to the Super Bowl. Then finally, we'll talk about the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. We'll talk about our Kobe Bryant memories and what Kobe Bryant brought to the game of basketball and brought to the world of entertainment. But first, it's been reported that the Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford mutually agreed that the quarterback won't be back for the Lions. Most of the Washington football team fans believe that Matthew Stafford should be here. George, do you think so?
Well, I think if you believe, as a lot of Washington football team fans do, that all his team needs is a quarterback, then I can understand why people want Stafford. But I would just point out, look at that playoff game against Tampa and look at the performance of Taylor Heinicke.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a quarterback like Matthew Stafford and we were in the playoffs and they had that kind of performance, I think we'd say, you know what, that's okay, that's decent.
True.
And I also would add that you'd expect us to win.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't win. And to me, that shows, that was proof positive that there's a lot more that needs to be fixed than just the quarterback.
Mm.
And I want to point this out because these things are all linked. We're talking about Matthew Stafford, who next year is going to be $35 million cap hit there or thereabouts. And I presume if Washington trades for him, there'll be a contract extension to lower that cap hit for next year.
Mm.
But it's going to take us, you know, 4 and 5 years down the line. And that's not going to be cheap. Brandon Scherff is an unrestricted free agent as of now. And they're going to tag him. I think I'm 100% certain they're going to tag
him.
They
better.
To try to get a deal done with him long term. And then you got Jonathan Allen entering the final year of his rookie deal next year, and you got to make a call on that.
Mm.
So those are, this cap space is not infinite, as you well know. And I urge people, be careful. This team won the division, yes, but they were 7-9. And they could have very easily been 9-7 because they could have beat the Giants both games. They didn't.
Yeah.
They could have also been 6-10 if the Eagles had bothered to leave Jalen Hurts in the game.
Mm.
And they decided not to. And I just want people to understand something. 5 years ago, we won a division championship, and we thought we had a team that was ready to do something, and it kept Gruden around too long. It kept Cousins around too long, and we reaped some pretty bitter fruit from what was an enjoyable division title at the time. And I just caution people, we've got a long way to go here, and a quarterback is not going to fix everything, and I definitely don't believe that Matt Stafford can fix everything here.
Yeah, it just depends what you bring around him. Like, I agree with you. They need more than the quarterback, because if you're going to go off with Taylor Heinicke, and I totally agree with you, like, the way he performed in that game against Tampa was good. There are a lot of quarterbacks that couldn't put that performance together, to be honest with you, and what he had to deal with. And they still lost that football game, right? So I totally agree with you. I think they do need more than the quarterback. But I guess it goes to a point where it's how do you tackle the offseason? Because I do believe that I personally would go after Matthew Stafford, but I wouldn't go after him, say, and give up the 19th pick. I don't think you need to do that. Like, because I feel like, to your point, George, that if you got to give up the 19th pick to get a Matthew Stafford, then – you're better off, you know, maybe, you know, kicking the tires on Taylor Heinicke or going after or, you know, signing a Cam Newton or some other quarterback that's going to be released, you know, that you don't have to give up a draft pick or give up compensation and take a shot at that. Because, you know, if you sign players around that individual, the quarterback, say you get another wide receiver, say you sign one of these highly touted wide receivers in free agency, you put that with a Heinicke or with a Cam Newton or any other free agent quarterback that's going to be out there, you would think that, you know what, that may be good enough to win you football games, and then you can draft whatever at 19. If you want to be defense or you want to be offense, you may want to draft a wide receiver to add more weapons to the table, because we saw that regardless of what this team did against, you know, what this team getting to the postseason, that they've had some on the offense side of football, they had issues throughout the season with, you know, wide receivers dropping footballs. When Scary Terry was hurt, you saw a big difference in terms of having productivity in the passing game. So it's like, all right, if you do go quarterback, then you got to do with Tampa. To me, if you get Stafford, you still got to do what, like, say, Tampa did for Brady. Like, when they got Brady, they didn't just say, okay, you're cool with, you know, it was enough weapons. It wasn't just, hey, Brady, we're just going to give you Mike Evans and Cam and Brate and O.J. Howard. Nah, we're not just going to give you that. We're going to give you more. So to make sure this offense does run afloat.
I'm nodding my head at everything you said. And I want to add this too. We got a problem at offensive coordinator, because I'm looking at Scott Turner and I see an inflexible, rigid coach who wants his quarterbacks to play a certain way only.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I look at the quarterbacks that have done well under him, and it's been Kyle Allen and Taylor Heinicke, and they're not the most dynamic quarterbacks. And I just wonder if the only people Scott Turner can work with are sort of under-talented, quarterbacks who are going to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if somebody like Matt Stafford, who is a very talented quarterback
with a
very huge arm, I don't know if Scott Turner will mold his system to his talents, because I've watched him not mold his system to Dwayne Haskins' talents, mm-hmm. and then ultimately Haskins gets tossed out the door. And let's be honest, if we had a healthy Alex Smith, he wouldn't have molded his system to his talents either. You wouldn't have seen the bootlegs and getting Smith out on the edge and running and getting him out of the passing, you know, out of the pocket where he's really dangerous. So that's the other thing, is like, I don't know if I want to spend, because I have to disagree with you. I think it's going to cost a first round pick to get Stafford. I think the market is there.
Yeah.
Even with all these other quarterbacks that are out there, I absolutely think it's going to take a one to do it.
Mm.
And I just don't know if I want to spend that kind of capital on a guy, knowing that I have an offensive coordinator that I'm hoping we're going to get rid of at the end of next season, because I don't believe in him.
Yeah, it's crazy, because the only quarterback, I feel like I like Matthew Stafford, so I'm going to say that I like Matthew Stafford. I would want him in D.C. I don't want him to the point of giving up a 19th pick overall. And you're right, the asking price may be on the market that you got to give up the first-round pick. There's only, to me, if we're talking about giving up a first-round pick for a quarterback, there's only one dude that other than like Deshaun Watson. And you have to give up a lot because he's younger, he's young, and also he's dynamic. But the only quarterback, if you want to get an aging quarterback, a guy who's, you know, in his 30s and you're willing to give up first round picks, is Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's the only quarterback I feel like that could change. If you want to tell me a quarterback that can change an offense and make people look good and make other wide receivers look good, because he's done it for years, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's the only guy that I've ever, and we've seen in football, that has made an average – made an average wide receiving core look great. He's the only one. So I don't want to. So when I look at that, are we talking about giving up a first round? Like, we got to get Matthew Stafford. When I hear that statement and we got to give up a one, I'm like, all right, well, if we're talking about giving up ones for a quarterback, there's a dude in Green Bay, and that's the only one. if you're not talking Deshaun Watson, go ahead.
And that's what you're talking about. And you're a fan of Matthew Stafford. I've never been a big fan of his. I'll say this, when he had Jim Caldwell as his coach, I think that's when he was at his absolute best, because he wasn't making the ridiculous throws and the crazy gunslinger type mistakes that he would make. But to be honest, he throws a lot of interceptions in big spots. And I think it's not all his fault, because I know the Lions have been a clown show, but let's be honest. He's run through two general managers and three coaches that over there. And at some point, the finger of blame's got to be pointed at him.
Yeah, I know, which I agree. I think when you look at, like, when I look at Stafford and we're looking at Detroit and we're looking at this situation here in D.C., all right, let's look at his Detroit situation. Let's use that as an example. In Detroit, they didn't have a running game. They never gave him a running game. They really were unfair to him in Detroit. Yeah. They gave him no running game, right? Gave him some okay wide receivers. I'm not going to say, like, Galladay was good. Galladay was good. You get Jones was fair. So he's had talented dudes at wide receiver. Nothing like to the point that he's had with, you say, when he had Calvin Johnson. I feel like with that squad, he did pretty well with Calvin Johnson back then when they got to the postseason. They got cheated by the Cowboys. I won't forget that game, because he played his butt off. He played his butt off, and that team played their butt off, and they should have beat the Cowboys. But he's never had like a running game. They've always been so dependent on him. So here, and they've only been, you know, other than having Calvin Johnson, they've only been, like you said, George, relic 9-7-ish type of ball club. Well, here, this Washington football team doesn't have a power run game. It's very similar. Doesn't have a power run game. They don't have everything in the book to make him you know, explosive. So it's like, all right, he can get you 9-7. He's not even a guarantee, you know. And I like Matthew Stafford. It's not a guarantee that this team would be, say, 10-6, 11-5 with Matthew Stafford. They'll be good. They'll be good, but they may not be what people think. But the only person that's going to change your offense to me from night to day is Aaron Rodgers. And we're talking about giving up first round picks. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. We're talking about giving up first round picks. Like, a first round pick. I'm like, we're going to do that. Then we got to explore talking to Aaron.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I just, and I'll go back to this too. Remember, we traded for Alex Smith, and I'll remember that night. I'll never forget it, because at the time I was like, well, he's only got 1 year left on his contract. That's actually not that bad. And then we turned around and gave him a contract extension, which, you know, might have been okay, except for that terrible thing that happened against Houston that none of us really want to relive. And you know darn well, if they were to make a deal for Matthew Stafford, it's going to be an expensive contract extension. We're going to be – he's going to be the quarterback here for probably the next 5 or 6 years, and it's going to be at $30 million plus. Mm. So that's what people – got to think about. And they got to think about Scherf this year, Allen next year, and eventually some of the other players that they've recently drafted down the line, and say to themselves, you know, will we be able to keep all these guys if we give this quarterback that kind of money, especially when we're not sure he can take you there? And this league's shown me one thing. You'd rather have no quarterback than a quarterback on franchise money that can't get you there.
True. Very true. So on our Facebook page, we talked about the same question about Matthew Stafford, you know, what should Washington give up to get for Matthew Stafford? My man Dane Smith said whatever it takes, and my man Ron James said the 19th pick. I just can't do it. Like, I just can't. I feel like the 19th pick, you can get, there's so many quality, or with the 19th pick, there's so many quality players that you can get at 19. Especially you can get a wide receiver, which this team drastically needs. You can get, you never know, like the kid, the tight end from Florida may slip. We're talking about impactful, game-changing players. So that 19th pick, you can bring to the table, and then you can add a quarterback. Again, you can add a quarterback in the in free agency if you want to. Or Taylor Heineke, maybe you can still, you know, like we've both said, you can go that route, you know, because he did show you a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's different. But again, if they got Matthew Stafford, again, folks, I would not complain. I like Matthew Stafford, but I mean, if we're talking about the 19th pick, I'll moan about it for a little bit, and then I'll just go about my business. But I just think at 19, there's some players you can have that's going to fit this team quite nicely.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the one I'm kind of hoping for is the left tackle from Virginia Tech, because I've been obsessed with it ever since Trent Williams left.
Yeah.
That's a hole that's got to be filled if this team's going to be a championship team. Is we've got to get somebody that can attempt to fill the very large shoes of one of the best left tackles in the league, and was one of the best left tackles that's ever put on a Washington uniform. And you know that's the point. Left tackle, linebacker, wide receiver, tight end, all of them. If they take any one of those positions at 19. I'm going to be happy, because they're all positions of serious need.
Definitely. I mean, your left tackle. I mean, hopefully, Kim LSU is the guy that they can have a left tackle. They drafted him. They were quite high on him. So hopefully, but I'm with you. If that position is a position that needs to be taken care of. Though I did like the way the line played last season, you know, knowing that they didn't have Trent, I was like, oh, wow, like you didn't have Trent. They surprised me. I thought it would be much worse, to be honest with you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. So. I want to give Lucas a lot of credit. He did step up better than I thought, you know, thought that he would be. I'm glad that Jerron Christian didn't really play last season.
Yeah.
All right. John Wall versus Bill is going down right now. The Wizards are actually up 15-13. Wall and Bill are going at it for real. We'll talk about this pay-per-view kind of matchup after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
The Commission, Uncle Paulie, P. Diddy, Cesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, the Bo right. Shady, Frankie Baby. We
here. Do you know what beef is? Do you know what beef is?
Uh-uh.
Ask yourself.
Uh-uh.
Do you know what beef is?
Uh-huh. Come on. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me, the B.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the foot of ceiling. Check it. My calico been cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant. rappers too persistent, quick to spit Biggie name on you. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret. See me, be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sit up with a feeling my big. I hope they know my new gutter fuck. Kidnap kids, I'm in they air. Throw them over the bridge, that's how it is. My shit is laid out. What? That be that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Bole, and our special guest co-host George from the football from Pro Football Network. Also, I want to say this, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what's beef? That's Biggie. That thing is a classic. And what's beefing right now? I mean, John Wall and Bradley Beal, they're not really beefing. They're playing like a nice, chill game. I don't see no trash talking. Both individuals are dropping buckets, so that's a good thing. But the game is going on. The Wizards are up 17-13. Wall and Bill are doing their thing. This is Wall's first game against his former team. Hey George, are you watching the game right now?
If I was up in Northern Virginia, I would be watching it 100%. I'm a little bit cross at NBA TV because they got Hawks Clippers instead. And I guess, you know, because of the lateness of the trade, they didn't think Wizards Rockets would be a big deal, but that makes this Wall thing would be, and the whole business around it makes it a big deal. Oh, I'll tell you something. I felt terrible when Wall got traded, but I at least talked myself into the idea that Russell Westbrook could wreck house in the weaker Eastern Conference. And he's a guy that's kind of got one of the few guys that we've had that's been around that's got the kind of no BS, I don't give a bleep attitude that Washington doesn't have a lot of. But man, this trade's been a disaster.
Well, I'll give credit when credit's due. Right now, John Wall has 7 points. Bradley Beal has 9. So they look like they're going back and forth. But a very competitive game. The Wizards are now up 19-13. Yeah. I'm with this trade. It's like I believe in Russ in this aspect. I think Russ to me is just he still has ability. I think a lot of people feel like Russ is done. He still has ability. It's just that Russ has just lost confidence. And you can tell from a hooper or any athlete when they lose confidence because you see them hesitate, right? Like we've seen that with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Like when a quarterback doesn't believe that we may see like this is not Brady by any stretch, but I'll use Brady as an example. If Brady is used to making this particular throw all the time, but then now we see him hesitate on, you know, in the pocket, like not letting that thing loose, then we know, all right, he doesn't believe in what he's doing. He doesn't believe in what he's seeing, right? That's the same thing in the Russ situation. Russ is hesitating on jumpers. He's hesitating on making decisive moves to the basket. And that tells me that he's just not confident. And he has it to me. And I've said this before, and people were like, nah, he's still getting numbers. I'm like, numbers are numbers, but you can tell when a hooper is confident. And Russ isn't confident. He wasn't confident last year, and he isn't confident this year. So knowing that John Wall and the player John Wall is, John Wall believes in his skill set. John Wall believes that when he steps on the court, you can take both Achilles out, and he still feels like he's the best point guard on the floor. He still feels like he's the best player on the floor. That's who John Wall is. So when they traded that individual for a guy that, to me, that has like waned on confidence, then I'm like, you're not really winning this deal. And then when you throw in, I don't care if it's a protected pick or whatever, then when you throw in a first round pick, protected or not, you're giving them way too much for John Wall Westbrook deal. Like, you're giving them way too much.
I know when Ray hears this, he's going to laugh because of all the stuff he said. But he's been an oracle on this. And here's the thing I don't understand, because everything you said is about Russell Westbrook's absolutely right. So how is it that with the coach that supposedly was his favorite coach, or the coach that got the most out of him or whatever, Scott Brooks, that he can be like this, that he can be out here on the floor struggling and not having any confidence? That's the thing I don't understand. And of course, you know, the old bugaboo which is this terrible, this team that's unable to defend. You know, they kind of fooled us in that first game of the season for three quarters, looking because they actually played some defense. And then after that, it just went, it's been no good ever since. I'm at a loss here. And I know the COVID thing has probably screwed up the timeline for this, but I'm wondering how long can Brooks hang on? Because they made this trade thinking they could compete for the playoffs, right? And right now they look like a team that's going to be competing for a top four pick in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Houston's actually a half-decent team when John Wall's on the floor, which makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Houston is definitely, just like with the Wizards, they're trying to get over like COVID situations and injuries and whatnot. So trying to get a rhythm. And also the James Harden situation, they're still trying to get over that too as well. But they're playing decent basketball. The Wizards, we all know, just watching this Wizards team, like, I mean, they're up and down. Like, we've seen that throughout this whole season, so far this season, that they're up and down. But back to your initial point about, you know, Russell Westbrook and Scott Brooks. I've always said, like, Scott Brooks to me isn't, like, he gets a lot of credit for player development. He gets a lot of credit. But at the end, like, I'll give him credit with Russ, because I felt like watching Russ from UCLA and to what he's become in the NBA, he's like, you wouldn't believe it. Like, you knew he was a defensive player coming out of college, but he made him, it's like he turned into a solid, I mean, like one of the best players in basketball, you know, in that run where he was Mr. Triple Double MVP and whatnot. But I don't look at Scott Brooks as a guy that can teach this Russell Westbrook anyway, because to me, this Scott Brooks has been overrated in terms of what he's done with players. Overrated, like in terms of how he can work with young players. Anytime I hear about Scott Brooks and young players, I'm like, bruh, you had Kevin Durant, you had James Harden. These are already bucket getters. Like, if you watch, James Harden was one of the leading scorers in college basketball when he was in Arizona State. Kevin Durant, self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. What Westbrook, I'll give you. You didn't really do that much with Jeff Green when you had Jeff Green. Jeff Green was basically the same dude in Georgetown when he came to OKC. Nothing really changed with his game. So who did you really make better? So when everybody's talking about, well, Russ is coming here with Scott Brooks, I'm like, I mean, Russ is already at a particular point in level of his game. Scott Brooks ain't going to really change that. You know what I mean? So, and he hasn't. And we've seen that right now.
And to me, we got to ask the question, is Russell Westbrook one of these guys that when he knows he's on a team that's not any good, then mentally he's kind of somewhere else. He's checking out.
Because there's
been a few times that I have watched a few games this year where that thought's crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And that's a really disturbing thought if that's the case, that's where he's at.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that though, George. I do think that Russ, to me, Russ plays hard. Like, he does play hard. It's just that when a player, it's not checking out, but when a player is just like, just he feels like he can't do anything right, you're not going to get the same plays. It goes to confidence. You're not going to get the same plays. You're not comfortable in your movements. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when you believe in what you can do, when you believe in what you can do, like, nothing can stop you. Like, you're going 100 miles per hour because you're not thinking. Like, you know, I'm going to get to this spot and this person's not going to stop me. And you can tell now when Russ goes to a particular spot, it's like, am I doing the right thing? Am I making this right? Can I make this shot? Like, can I take this pull up? Am I going too far? Like, should I pass it? You know, he's thinking. He's just thinking. And then that's the thing. He needs to stop thinking. He needs to start playing. Because when you look at this trade between Wall and Russ, you know, to me, and I'm not speaking, and I've been deemed a Wall supporter, but I'm just keeping it 100. Like, the Wizards lost this trade because John Wall went on the floor, and both players have missed time. Went on the floor has been better than Russ. If you watch games, you can watch. You don't have to look at points. You can tell that John has been better than Russ as a point guard. He's been better than Russ. And then secondly, you gave up. Like I mentioned before, I don't care if it's protected or whatever, or whatever stipulations you want to put on it. The Wizards aren't a great team, so there's an opportunity. Any which way that they'll get a first rounder, one way or the other. And when they get a first rounder, you lost that deal. Like, that's a bad deal to trade. Like, they're not that much different for you to throw in a first rounder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and not that this is a metric of how good or bad a deal is, I remember when you were talking about it last week, and I think I either tweeted it or said it on Facebook. I said one thing about the Rockets is they may not end up being a playoff team or whatever, but their fans are having a lot more fun watching them than we are watching the Wizards right now.
True.
You can at least with Oladipo and Wall, you know you're gonna get two guys that are gonna fight like hell every night. And Christian Wood is like found money.
Yes.
You know, it's like you put your hand in your pocket and you found a $50 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's at least the start of something. I'm sitting here looking at this Wizards team and I'm looking at Westbrook and I'm looking at Bradley Beal and I'm wondering where this team is going. And of course, you know, Hachimura's been really good. He's been better than what I thought since they drafted him. I'll give Tommy Shepard a thumbs up on that. But what are we building here and where are we going? They look like a franchise that has very little direction, which is a pretty terrible indictment on everybody in charge with that group.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So pose the question, so far, who do you think is winning the trade between Russ and John Wall? On Twitter, my man King of DC Sports said number 19 pick and 20 actually he tweeted this is about Washington football team. I'll read this anyway while I'm here. About the Washington football team and Stafford, he tweeted no 19th pick and a number 19th pick and a 2022 third rounder, but the market might go up depending on how many teams are in for the Stafford sweepstakes. Do you want to talk about that, George, real quick before I go to another John Wall?
I mean, I don't think he's far off on the price.
Oh, okay.
And it's just that is a heavy price to pay plus a five year deal or some sort of a contract extension that takes that contract to say 2025 at say $30 million per or $32 million per or whatever it's going to be. You know, I think he's not far off. Mm. And again, if I could see a lot of Washington fans wanting to swallow that. I really don't think I'm in that group right now.
All right, so I'm in on Facebook. My man Quentin Hamilton said this is about Wall Bill. He said Wall and the Rockets and for Russ and the Wizards that trade. He said Quentin Hamilton said H Town. My man Michael Portnoy said seems like a wash. Yo Jamo said the Rockets better record, but by Harden. And Michael Buckley said only good thing Russ has done well is provide housing for DC homeless with the million bricks he has put up. Give me back Wall, please.
He's not. Oh God, that hurts. But he's not far off the truth there either.
Oh man, people are cruel, man. Give Russ a chance, folks, man. Hopefully, you know he starts to play better. All right, Brady and Mahomes will meet in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about how these individuals got there after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for Aegis. You dig? Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil, that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, a Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Show on more probably switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched. Heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist. Burn inside a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Vince would probably offend you. This is Parlor's only.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, and our special guest, George from the Pro Football Network. So I'm patching George back in right now. And you all know we part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. So make sure you check us out at Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. All right. So on Championship Sunday, the great Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeated Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers 31-26 to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. George, your thoughts on the game?
I've been hating on Brady all year. I won't lie, but I've got to hand it to Tampa. I didn't think they had a snowball's chance of hell winning that game up there.
Yeah, me either.
Rodgers' legacy's taken a major hit.
It has, man.
To this week,
mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady again, not a great performance, but you know that team just. Bruce Arians, I remember y'all talking about him last week and what a good coach he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely underrated with the things he's done in the league. And I couldn't believe watching that A, they were able to overcome all those Brady interceptions,
mm-hmm.
and that B, that Aaron Jones going out hurt that offense as badly as it is. Although part of me thinks that if A.J. Dillon had got the ball a little bit more, that game could have ended up different. Because I am an A.J. Dillon fan. I think he's going to be a great running back. Mm. But Tom Brady, 10 Super Bowls in 21 years. Man. That is ludicrous. No. That is unbelievable.
I agree. And that's the thing. It's crazy because I'm like you, right? This is my issue with like the quarterbacks in general. Like they get way too much credit. We talk about this GOAT thing and GOAT status and like you just said, he threw three interceptions, right? So if he throws three interceptions mm-hmm. and they lose, then it's a bad game, right? Or right? It's a bad game. It's not a good game. But when you throw three interceptions and a win, now you're getting all the credit. You know what I'm saying? And that's where that's my issue with how we critique the quarterback position. When we say like, oh man, like there's Tom Brady did it again against the Saints. He didn't play good against the Saints. That was bad quarterback play by both quarterbacks, but that defense yes. helped them get to the NFC championship game. And, but we give Brady all the credit. Again, Brady has submitted himself as the GOAT. I'm not going to argue that. Cause I feel like he got to the Super Bowl. It is what it is. The dude's a winner. Like that's what he does. He wins. But at the same time, it's like, did they win because of Brady? Because that's when we're talking. That's the narrative, right? That's where we're hearing. It makes it seem like they won of Brady.
They won in spite of him.
Yes.
They won in spite of him.
Yes.
No question
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. So that's my thing. It's like, all right, so the argument shouldn't be – it shouldn't be like Brady got this team – Brady helped get this team to Super Bowl, get to the Super Bowl. Because it was a team effort. Like you just said, Bruce Arians, great job coaching. That defense came up big in the postseason. How many key turnovers did they get in the postseason? We saw it against the Washington football team. We saw it against the Saints. How they dominated Drew Brees, and then we saw it on Sunday against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This Packers team was scoring 30 easy against everybody. Easy was scoring 30, and you could say they scored 30 against the Rams, and the Rams have one of the better defenses in all of football. And then this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they said we ain't having that over here. And they shut that down. So I'm just saying, like, we got to start when we talk about what we saw Sunday. Yeah, Brady got to a 10th Super Bowl, which is amazing. GOAT status. But let's give credit when credit is due. Like, that defense was balling.
I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh, and you think about where they are in their careers, they rolled back the hands of time.
Because
that Jason Pierre-Paul that I saw last Sunday, that was the New York Giants' holy terror.
Agreed.
Being in the backfield all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was Ndamukong Suh when he was at the peak of his powers in Detroit.
Yes.
And to me, he was the best. He was absolutely 100% the best defensive player in football.
Yes, I agree.
For a couple of years. And what's the only thing? As much as I believe the Chiefs are going to win, there's one thing that scares the dickens out of me, and it's that front four.
Mm.
And now the Chiefs' left tackle is out with an Achilles injury. Because that front four, they're going to get in Patrick Mahomes' face.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. He's going to feel them.
Yes.
And he's going to have to handle that, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I just think to your point, like that front four was amazing, and they got the young kid back. what's his name? He played in the game. I can't think of his name. Who plays
D tackle? Oh, Vita Vea
back. You can't run on him.
If he's in the game, you can't run. Exactly. You forget running the football.
Thank you. So you got Vita Vea and teaming him with Sue. Yeah, going down. And I don't want to go into the Super Bowl, but you're right. Going down the road with those two dudes in the middle and seeing the way how Pierre Paul is playing. Yeah, that's a problem, man. It's going to be a serious problem. Mm-hmm. Like, so again, it's not just Brady, but don't get it twisted. Brady made some big throws. I'm not that like the touchdown to Scotty Miller before the half ended was big. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not taking anything away from Brady, but I feel like at times, because we want to paint this narrative about Tom Brady, that we put too much into him while we forget that it's a team. Football is a team sport. And yes, a Sunday showed you what it was, man. Like, it wasn't Tom Brady carrying his team to a W. Like, we've seen playoff performances by Tom Brady where he's carried a team to a W. We've seen it. So it's not like he hasn't done it before, but this hasn't been that type of playoff run. Probably other than, like, Washington, he had a bunch of big plays, so I can give him that. But the Saints in this game here, I mean, the game against the Packers, that's not an example of a Tom Brady led performance. You know what I'm saying? Key performance. It wasn't the one.
Leonard Fournette, and Ronald Jones against the Saints, 125 mm-hmm. yards combined on mm-hmm. the ground, and you know, Leonard Fournette was getting pilloried by everybody. God. But man, in the playoffs, I guess he likes the playoffs, because when Leonard Fournette plays in the playoffs, he usually produces. And Ronald Jones. That's a pretty good tandem.
Yes, sir. I want Leonard Jones in DC. I mean, Leonard Fournette in DC. I do. I've said that already. I want Leonard Fournette in DC. I said that before when he was out there in the market.
I want anybody that can replace Peyton Barber.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's a real back. That's a real running back. That is a real running back. Yes. I want people to understand that. You saw that spin move. That is a real running back. All right. It's not a wide receiver playing running back. That is a legit running back. I want folks to understand that. All right, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Buffalo Bills 38-24, and they will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Thoughts on that game, my man George?
That was so funny. We were talking about it on the podcast last week. So much money was coming in on the Bills that line didn't move, which shocked us all, because it's like, well, Mahomes is not hurt. You know, he's not got the concussion. He beat the protocol. People are worried about his turf toe. You know, the Chiefs, they hadn't been impressive the last 2 months. Man, they flicked the switch last week. Mm. And, I mean, Buffalo was easily the second-best team in that conference by a long way. And they just brushed them aside like it was nothing.
Yes.
And that's the thing about Kansas City, and that's the thing about Mahomes that it just took me a while to understand, is that it feels like he's always going to make one more play to beat you.
Facts.
No matter how good you are and how well you play, if he can make one more play to beat you, he's going to do it. And that's a testament to him. That's a testament to Andy Reid and his coaching. And, you know, we're watching the blossoming of the face, not just the face of the NFL, but I think a player that could change sort of the culture around football with the way he plays and the no-look pass and the left-handed pass, mm-hmm. all these other things. He's going to be imitated by young kids who want to play quarterback all over the country for the next, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years if he plays that long.
Mm-hmm. So do you think is he the next Tom Brady of the AFC? Like, you got to go through him.
The funny thing is, when I saw you post that question, I actually talked with one of my other friends about this, mm-hmm. and it was just, I was thinking it over, because I'm like, it's such an interesting question, but there are so many things around Patrick Mahomes that have nothing to do with him that could affect that.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, 62, he's not going to coach Patrick Mahomes his whole career.
Facts.
He's going to, unless he's going to coach to his 80s, which he's not going to do, he's going to have a different coach. You know, is that Eric Bieniemy possibly? If he doesn't get a head coaching job this year, it could be, and maybe that'll be great. You know, but eventually, is he going to do what Tom Brady did and take less money so to keep, you know, better talent around him? Because one of the biggest reasons Brady's got the 10 Super Bowls is that he, in New England, he'd always take that money and convert it into signing bonus and give them cap space so they could get players, mm-hmm. whether it was trade or draft or whatever. Is Patrick Mahomes going to be willing to do that? I think I could see him doing it. But the question is this. The central question is this. You got Brady. He's 21 years. He's been to 10 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Is Patrick Mahomes going to play 17 years and 8 Super Bowls? Because if he does that, that's comparable to Brady. I think it's possible. Because if it wasn't for D Ford's silly self jumping off, lined up all sides, this would be Super Bowl number 3 in a row.
You're right. I forgot about that play. You're right. He could have 3 bowls already.
Interception game over. Chiefs are going to Super Bowl. Oh, wait. D Ford, who I've referred to on many occasions as a fish-eyed fool, lined up offside. Or we'd be talking about 3 Super Bowls in a row.
That is a very good point.
I absolutely think it's possible. I think, Lord willing, he doesn't get hurt, have any terrible injuries, and he can be as durable as he's been so far. But it's like eight Super Bowls in 17 years. Yeah, I think he can do that. I think he could be Tom Brady. The one problem he's got that Tom didn't have, it seems like every good quarterback's ending up in the AFC. So he's got Allen to worry about. He's got Justin Herbert to worry about. He may still have Deshaun Watson to worry about, depending on where he goes. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the AFC.
Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. The sledding is going to be a lot tougher in the AFC for Trevor Lawrence than it was for Tom Brady.
Trevor Lawrence too. Soon.
Yeah, that's right. In Jacksonville. That's right. I totally forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brady had it easy in the NFC and the AFC East, and mm-hmm. had those 1 and 2 seeds and those bye weeks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot tougher for Patrick Mahomes because you got to be the number 1 seed to get a bye week, and he's going to be in a division that's got good quarterbacks in it.
Definitely. That's a very good point. So I'll post the question on our Facebook group, the Urban Sports Team Facebook group. Is Mahomes the new Brady? My man Darian Williams, posted. I'll call you after he gets it to his 5th championship game. Even though I'll still wait on that judgment. No, even then I'll still wait on that judgment. Man, he's already at 2, Darian. He's already at 2. Like my man George said, should have been. It could be 3. He's about to get number 2 very young. So he almost there in terms of winning championships. If the way Kansas City is playing, and like George said, George, you had a valid point that we don't know because. Is how long is Andy Reid gonna be there? And you know, if he's gone, will Eric Bieniemy be the coach? Then if Eric Bieniemy's the coach, then he has a better chance of, you know, maybe being able to reach Brady status.
I if anybody could do it, it's this young man. I mean, the grounding he's had, being the son of a professional, being in professional locker rooms all his life, and then having Andy Reid. And sitting behind Alex Smith for a year to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a better preparation for a quarterback that I can think of. And I'll tell you something, for somebody that signed up, you know, one of the richest contracts in the history of professional sports, it doesn't seem to have changed him one iota. And that's a great sign. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, that he's not got ahead of himself. Yeah. He's doing commercials and all that, but he's all about business when it's still on the football field.
I'm going to read this one post before we go to break. My man Raymond, I'm going to read 2 posts before we go to break. My man Raymond Gotha, the second posted, Tom Brady and history are his only competition at this point. My man Keith posted, relax, LOL, but to bat KC, I believe you have to build your defense with speed on the back end and the middle and up front. You can mix it. Mahomes and Hill are too elusive and fast, and maybe plays 3 to 4. George said, I think he has a great chance to do it. This team so far, people are trying to copy the blueprint of what Kansas City is doing. So if they continue to add speed, and Mahomes continues to get better because he is getting better, and if Andy Reid can give him like 3 more years and they can kind of go with the Bieniemy route or somebody on that staff, I think Patrick Mahomes has an opportunity to get close to Tom Brady. If not pass, definitely get close. All right, today is the day that Kobe Bryant left us all. We going to get real Mamba in here, man. We're going to get real Mamba tonight. So make sure you listen in. We'll talk about the great Kobe Bryant after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Touch them other hips, hands them down, hold my hips, what? Touch them other hips, hands them down, hold my hips, what? Touch them other hips.
a soldier on the tank with the big, big dogs. And if anybody mess with Snoop Doggy Dog, I'ma make his people put his name on the wall. And everywhere I go, I got Mr. Magic there, because I know that boy don't care. He'll have that red stuff pouring out your hair. Bless any given time, bless anywhere. Make him bleed is the motto that I live by. If you mess with me, it's a must you die. Them haters might run, but them haters can't hide. It's like shooting yourself. It's a suicide exhale. Got to be hitting hard like dirt boys.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T are out. But don't be worried. Don't be scared. I got my homie co-host, special co-host, man. Special co-host, George from Pro Football Network. You know, he on and he's lit and he's got things popping. And make sure you check us out also at Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Where, you know, we are part of Sports Journey, so make sure you check us out on that particular website. All right, last year, on this day, man, basketball great Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others died in a helicopter crash. When you heard the news, heard the preliminary news, George, what came to your mind?
Well, I, you know what? This is the kind of memory it is. I can tell you exactly where I was, what I was doing, what time it was, the day, everything. I had literally just finished recording a podcast for Pro Football Network, and I went out to get a late lunch, and I heard this, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I finished that thing today, because I would not have felt like doing anything after that. I was kind of in a daze. Mm. I was at the grocery store getting a sub. When I heard the news, it was confirmed, and it was just devastating. As a basketball fan who watched his entire career like you did, and I was a Laker hater, so yeah. You know, I cheered against him plenty, yeah. and I never enjoyed anything more than the breakup between him and Shaq and when they lost to the Pistons, because I could laugh at both of them. But you couldn't help but appreciate the talent on the court. But I want to forget that for a moment, because the loss there, it pales in comparison to the incalculable loss to the game going forward. Not just to support for, you know, girls basketball, women's basketball, and basketball in general. Kobe Bryant was going to be our foremost historian when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm. So much of basketball history, especially for people in our age group, is the oral history. You want to hear the stories from the people that were there. Oh, you remember this guy when he did this? And because Kobe Bryant was such a student of history and cared so much about the history of the game, he was going to be that guy. He was going to be the guy who was telling the stories to the young kids and to his grandchildren and great-grandchildren about, I remember this guy, and he was so, so great and did this, and he was going to tell them all about the greats that came before him. And it's just from that aspect, that was what hurt me the most, is that the loss to him and the loss to basketball in the community in terms of him as a basketball historian, never mind everything else that he's done for the game, it's incalculable. And it was devastating. It was absolutely devastating a year ago.
Man, it's crazy because, you know, anybody who knows me, and I grew up a Laker fan, and I just was, it's crazy. Like, I wasn't, like, big on Kobe Bryant, but it's just something, but I've always respected his greatness and his work ethic, you know what I mean? Like, I've always respected it. And, you know, I would tell anybody, like, I may not, you know, certain things I didn't like about, you know, what he did on the court in terms of how he viewed the game of basketball. But what I did love about, you know, the staying the Mamba mentality, that thing was real. And to me, it's the work ethic. Mm-hmm. I've always said, like, the work ethic of Kobe Bryant was off the chain. Like, there are so many, and I'm going to say this, there are so many basketball players that jump high, great jumpers, can dribble, you know what I mean? But they're not perfecting their craft 24/7. Like, they're not in competition with anybody else trying to say, you know what, that person doing this, so I'm going to do this times 10. They take it for granted. Kobe didn't take that for granted, man. Like, Kobe was in the gym working. Like, he ate, drank, and slept basketball, and you can see it. And I used to always tell my brother, like, we used to always rap about it. It was like, you know what, man? We can hate on Kobe all we want or whatever, but we was like, yo, there's one thing you can't deny about this brother, man. This dude works, man. He works. Like, Like, he worked hard. Like, and you can see it in, like, you could tell, like, he worked on something in the offseason, and he would bring it in the game. You're like, damn, he got that to his game now? Like, this dude works. Like, people don't, like, people look at his jumper, and I'm like, he's always had a decent jumper, but what he took that jumper to, the level he took that jumper to, that's hard work. Like, his post work, his footwork, that wasn't natural. That came with work. Like, that came over time. He was working with a lot. He called up Akeem Olajuwon, the center, and said, hey, Akeem, can I work with you? Because I'm trying to master some of these post moves and your footwork. He did that. Like, players don't today in today's game don't reach out to an all-time great in our era of basketball. Kobe does that. You know what I'm saying? He uses Michael Jordan as a resource. Magic Johnson. These are people that he felt like, you know what, I'm Kobe Bryant, but I'm not big and bad enough to not, you know, ask the all-time greats, can they help me out? You know what I mean? Or he went asked a player that may be a little bit of beneath him in terms of credibility, but that player may have something sweet to their game. Kobe would hit him up and like, hey, yo, can we work out together? I'm trying to add this to my game. So, like, Kobe was a savage, man, like, in terms of what you want a basketball player to represent, and what in terms of like working hard and to work to outwork the next person, because he knows that, you know what, somebody trying to take your spot 24/7. That's what Kobe was, man, and you got to appreciate that, because in today's basketball, you got people who just are just looking at their skill set alone and like, you know what, I'm good enough to do whatever. I don't need to work on my game. Kobe is working. Kobe is still working. I use Vince Carter all the time as an example when I compare Kobe Bryant to anybody else. Vince Carter has way more God-given ability than Kobe Bryant. Way more. But Kobe Bryant is better because his work ethic is way more constant. And you could just see it is what it is. Like, that's what made Kobe Bryant so great. And to your point too, George, I like what you said about what hurts more about him not being a historical resource. You know what I'm saying? I felt like Kobe was becoming like more, and this is going to sound corny, but it's more likable to so many people. Like, he was becoming this image of like, oh man, the great, like, you can put Kobe on anything and everybody would want to see it. Like, he was becoming this, like, this image larger than life type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt he was more comfortable in the skin. You know what I mean? He wasn't always on edge. Now he was relaxed. He was kind of like, you can like, you know what? I dig this Kobe Bryant. And I felt like we've been cheated, like, to not get that Kobe Bryant.
Without question. And, you know, the mama mentality thing just brought something back to me that I've got to bring up. And it's that breakup that I mentioned with Shaq and when they lost that finals. Kobe Bryant got the blame for that. Kobe Bryant was getting... The Lakers fans turned on him.
Yeah, I did too. That was
me.
That was me.
Angry.
That was me.
that was. I knew lots of them. And there wasn't many people taking Kobe Bryant's side in that. They were all on Shaq's side. And he had a Lakers fan base that was not very happy with him. And he could have folded under that pressure. But that mama mentality, he said to himself, and I'm convinced of this, I'm going to earn these people's love and respect back, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And whatever it took, of course, is championships, obviously. But he earned his place in Laker lore after being part of something that could have destroyed his legacy in Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, you think about the things he's had to overcome early in his career and then that, and to be arguably the greatest Los Angeles Laker who ever played. Mm. On a franchise that's had Elgin Baylor, George Mikan, Shaq, Magic, Worthy, you know, God, I mean, that speaks to everything you said, but it speaks to that mama mentality, and it just not have that example anymore, to not have him being there at his academy teaching people the game, to not have him, you know, talking about these players and tweeting at them when they did something great, and to see him on the sideline in the NBA Finals, which we would have been seeing for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Cheated doesn't even start to describe what's been taken from all of us. And again, the basketball community will recover because we always do, but golly, I'll go back to what I said at the start. When you know, when something happens, you know exactly where you were and what you were doing, then it had to have been pretty impactful. And it's that one, you know, Len Biestein's another one. You know, those are things that stay with you. And I just, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what all the things we're going to miss out on because he's not here. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's as heartbreaking now as it was a year ago.
Sure is, definitely is. Well, this has been a great show, George. I'm glad you were able to jump on the show with us, my man. Hey, George, before we stop end the show, before we end this show, George, let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media, man. This has been epic, man.
You can follow me on Twitter at TempRat, ProFootballNetwork.com. I've got one more podcast for them. It'll be next week. It'll drop next Thursday. It's Against the Spread. And also, since it's draft season for Washington fans, check out our mock draft simulator. It's free. You can do trades. You can figure out a way to move Washington up to get one of them quarterbacks if you want, or move back, or take whoever you want. Check that out. It's absolutely awesome. And Rams Rewind, there'll be a new episode dropping tomorrow. And that's going to be kind of a state of the VCU Rams. That's my new podcast adventure. That's on Podbean and Apple. Rate, review, and subscribe. And Wole, thank you for having me on. It's been a blast.
Man, it's been great, man. Hey, y'all, make sure y'all check out my man George. Also, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. And it's up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com for all your DMV sports content. Man, I appreciate George for being on. Appreciate you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out, big homie. Mamba mentality, represent, folks.